I see women and the divine feminine as the embodiment of source, right? Through just her light, her radiance. Like, just think about it, right? Like, women's cycles move with the moons. Like, that doesn't happen for a dude. So men open spaces. Women are the space. Women are the oracle. Like, a man will never be able to manifest like a woman. You know, if you want to learn how to manifest, you got to have a fucking pussy, basically, right?
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Deeper Podcast. And today I am joined by Jamie Rea, and he's a spiritual teacher who I've been following for quite some time, actually on social media. And his posts are always a little bit
polarizing.
A little polarizing. They've got a little bit of sting to them. And I was thinking, if there's anybody that I've ever wanted to interview on this whole actually felt sense of the sword of truth that we always talk about masculine penetration, about bringing the truth is not always comfortable. And if we want a man to lead us, it's not always comfortable. This is exactly the man I wanted to talk to about that. So Jamie, welcome. I'm so happy you're here.
Thank you so much for having me, Sophie. I'm stoked to be going deeper with you in this conversation. I'm the fan of your work and I'm super excited to be here. So thank you so much for having me on. Let's fucking get into it. Let's fuck some shit up right now.
I love that. Before we go into it, I know you call yourself a spiritual teacher. Yeah. I see you as really as a polarity teacher. Actually, you talk a lot about the masculine, the feminine, divine masculine, and really bringing the divine masculine into your relationship. For people who don't know who you are or what you are bringing to this world, may I ask for your elevator pitch?
Who am I? Jamie,
who this is
the quintessential question. Tell me who the fuck you are. So I guess what feels aligned now is I basically teach the energetics of God. And I know that sounds almost a little bit self-righteous, but it's just the fucking truth of what I do. I just teach people to embody God frequency. So I work with both men and women. I'm basically split down the middle of my practice. And I take people into the energetics of divine embodiment and divine energetics. So it's more of a spiritual practice of how do we kind of take fucking God and put it in our body. That's basically what I do.
I love that. I so resonate with that. What brought you here? What's your journey? How did you get here? Have you always done that? When did you feel that God was in your relationships?
This is funny because I played hard to get with God. I was like, God, you can fuck off. I don't want any part of this. And then God was relentless. He's like, Jamie, I want your cock. I want your dick. Like, yeah. God kept coming to me. You know, I wanted to be a comedy writer on Saturday Night Live. So I was pursuing a career in comedy, entertainment, film. And then I started to go through my first spiritual awakening. Many spiritual awakenings happened. And then about 3 years ago is when my massive initiation started. And I see like an awakening as different than an initiation. Mm-hmm. Whereas an awakening is like, let's say a slight altering in consciousness. An initiation is a complete embodied cellular quantum upgrade, upload from one sort of realm to another. And that started about 3 years ago. And then going through my initiation is basically what has now influenced all the work that I do now and kind of, I guess you could say my life's work or my life's mission of taking people to God, which is I just started to access other dimensions. I started to access certain things in my body where I was like, what the fuck is going on? I had absolutely no idea what was going on. And I basically had to teach myself this process, which is now what I teach with my clients, which is how do we go through like spiritual emergency? How do we go through spiritual initiation? And how do we ground the frequency of God in our body in a way that can just change the course of our life? And so I just had to learn through my own initiation.
Amazing. So for a lot of people, I think that happens after like a dark night of the soul, something like really big happens. And then we are, I always say for women, we're down to our knees and we're down to
it.
And that's in my experience. Like that happened for me 8 years ago. I was down to my knees and that's where my big, not just awakening, but just an immediate shift into a whole different version of me and a whole different life and a whole different access to certain information. Was that the same for you?
Yeah. So, you know, I think the pandemic was a big part of it, right? Because the pandemic was like, let's bring some Mary Magdalene energy in. Let's restore the Divine Mother sort of energy. And for me, that was interesting because it basically influenced this masculine process where it's, how do you put a man in this masculine? You got to deal with the feminine first. You got to deal with the feminine, right? So with the pandemic, it was like, let's go to this total stop, which basically meant that your survivalist wiring in your body was starting to rise for everyone, right? It was more of this karma, more of this trauma that, you know, became awakened in people. And in that, I think people were accessing a lot of past life stuff, a lot of like intergenerational energy and trauma. For me, it was, I was in the hospital with compressed discs in my spine, all up and down my spine. I had discs that were compressed, right? And illness and injury is really, really common with an initiation because it's dealing with the body. How do we access our trauma or let's say other lifetime material? One of the most common ways is through pain, right? Because pain, basically what it means is that the mind becomes incapacitated. So now we can begin to move into a new transmission, right? And think about the divine. We have to like incapacitate the logical mind to allow a different frequency to come through. There's no better way to do that than injury or illness, unfortunately and fortunately. And then so our logical mind is incapacitated. We essentially have to learn to surrender to something that's greater than ourselves. And so I had this back injury and I was in pain for about 7-8 months. I had nerve pain up and down. I didn't sleep for 3 months. Being in so much pain, my body started to access fucking everything. And I basically purged every single day for 3 years and had to clear my entire vessel. And it was basically like this acute experience of becoming a channel or medium that I went through, and it was really, really intense. You know, I had to understand this process from the inside. And so that's kind of what led me.
It's interesting. I came into this conversation with just my bubbly energy, and you're clearly somebody who has embodied a lot of masculine energy. And the moment I hear you speaking, I feel myself like dropping back into my own heart because you're actually sharing my story, and I'm getting already something from you that is really personal to me. You may not know this, but a lot of listeners know that I've dealt with chronic illness my entire life, but the past 10 years have been especially bad with severe chronic pain, like really inhumane levels of chronic pain.
Right.
And I've had mentors, my own spiritual teachers, and they told me this is the spiritual path. We all think that the healthy body is like when you're spiritually aligned, you're free of all your traumas, your body's healthy. But actually the great spiritual teachers all had physical illness and they all had pain. Yeah. And so I just noticed I'm dropping more into my own vulnerability as I'm listening to you. Just, oh yeah, right. Yeah, the body is always teaching us, because when I'm in so much pain is when I feel God, weirdly enough. It's when all the layers in between and all the everything that doesn't matter just falls away, because you just are in this body. You're so alive and there's so much happening and there's such an accident. I lost my mom 8 years ago, and I know at the depths of grief is where I felt the most love. And it's weird when you're in so much pain, there's also so much God.
It's poetry, right? It's poetry. And I totally agree with everything that you're saying, that we have to course correct our relationship to our body. And that doesn't happen in a pleasant way. It happens through complete and utter hell and anguish. And that's what a spiritual initiation is. It's so different. An awakening is like, ooh, like, and that's why that's the big misconception with spirituality. People want spirituality to be fucking sexy. And it's the most ungodly thing you will ever experience. And that's how we learn. That's how we become initiated. Oftentimes it's experiencing things like our body changing. We're having real issues in our body and we're like, why? And that is the path that brings us through. And that's why when you see spiritual communities where everyone has a perfect body and it looks fucking sexy as shit, like Burning Man type stuff, those people haven't been initiated, not in a true ungodly sense to find God, because it is an ungodly process. That's why, how do we find heaven on earth? You have to walk through hell. That's why in religion, people are always like fucking praying at the altar to be like, how do I go to heaven? When it's like, you know, they're trying to avoid hell and they want to go to heaven. Well, there's only one way to heaven. It's through fucking hell. That's it.
Yeah, I so recognize this. For me, it really feels like when I first went into personal development, spirituality, it felt like I was trying to go up, or I was trying to meditate. I was trying to think positively. I was trying to, you know, go up. And actually through the illness and the pain, I was forced into my body. And it was through my body and through just a very incredibly human experience of like, I can't manifest my illness this way. They're here. And just having to deal with that very human experience that my spirituality actually flowered open. But it was so different than just meditating.
And what you thought.
Your crown is opening and then all of a sudden.
Well, even just like the way that the whole system opens, like we always go root first, right? Yeah. But root chakra was cut open first.
Yes.
That's why also when people talk about, let's say they compartmentalize your trauma, your spirituality, your trauma is your spirituality.
Yeah.
Your trauma is your access point to your spirituality. And we have to open the root chakra first. We have to descend. We have to put our ancestors in the earth. The divine begins when you put your ancestors in the earth. And now you're standing atop a graveyard of all your ancestors. Like you're in a cemetery. All your ancestors, all your karma is underneath you. And you're now finally ready to create something unprecedented. Because what's the divine? The divine is something that is entirely unprecedented. Meaning there is no past script for it, which means that you are every single day building from a canvas of the unknown in your body. You're making art with your body. You're an artist. You're an energetic artist. That's what the divine is. And so when you finally put your ancestors and all your karma in the earth, you're finally ready to have a relationship with God and actually begin to create from your own true unique frequency.
I love that. This is so beautiful. It's like right now you are an incredible example of the penetrative masculine and the sort of truth, because not everything what you're saying is equally comfortable to hear, but it's opening my heart. And I'm like, oh, I'm feeling that. Just to bring this a little bit back into relationship, how do you see this like relationship to God, to spirituality, to maybe trauma? How do you see that playing out in relationship? Because relationship is another, for me, arena where our like ugliest stuff comes up. It's not pretty, right? You can't meditate your way out of a trauma trigger that comes back every 2 months in your relationship, right? You can't meditate. You have to go through the dirt and through the ugliness.
Yeah.
And that feels like a spiritual practice in itself, because every time we move through it, I feel union. Well, how do you see this? How everything you just spoke about, how do you feel that that relates to relationship and the dance we play out there?
For one, I think relationships, let's say illness, injury is a massive initiator. Relationships is a huge co-facilitator, right? It's a huge co-facilitator because we need these injury, illness, it reveals the unconscious, right? So we need relationship to reveal the unconscious. So I think what's happened in the collective right now is there has been a lot of karmic contracts. And I think even just seasonally right now, I don't know when this is going to air. There's a lot of karmic completion that's happening in sort of the consciousness and the ether. And what that means is coming to a reality, right? So there's been a lot of relationships, let's say twin flame type stuff, where we've had to use relationships to reveal deep, deep aspects in our unconscious that have needed to come out, but probably wouldn't have been able to come out without the recreation of certain dynamics, right? How do we heal something? How do we heal trauma? We need to recreate it under different circumstances, right? And so I think relationships, particularly, let's say, karmic spiritual relationships, it's not like sacred union, it's much different, but there's been a lot of karmic spiritual relationships that have been activated in consciousness so that we could recreate certain dynamics from generational trauma, ancestral energy, past life karma, so that we could complete this karma to now move into what we could call the new earth. The new earth is the new realm portal of human consciousness that we're stepping into. The pandemic was a big part of this. What does that look relationally? It means that we essentially are existing in a triangle where the relationship goes through God first, right? So in a Christian relationship, for example, it would be a triangle with Jesus, right? Where if you're just spiritual, you're not religious, it'd be more of that the energy of the relationship goes through source first. So that means that each person, let's say the divine feminine, divine masculine, their primary focus, the first focus, is that they're here to open to the collective. Mm-hmm. To consciousness at large, right? And it means the divine feminine, divine masculine is embodying and embedding the ancient codes that their body's here to download so they can bring those codes to the opposing pole. And now together, the divine masculine, divine feminine can now work together to literally amplify at like a quantum pace, something that's never existed before. And it's honestly a frequency that will heal the world. But most people, let's say, aren't taken far enough to really, really, truly embody these codes. But it's this, and now relationship becomes a holy frequency, a godly frequency, where you're literally in union and it feels like you're loving or the container that you've created, you're dancing with source.
That is so beautiful. I really feel that. I like seeing my man as an embodiment of there's God in him too. right? We always talk about the goddess and the goddess and the feminine, but it's the same for my man. He is channeling some kind of God frequency, just like I am channeling some kind of goddess frequency. And to honor that in him, to honor the human and to honor the God in him. I'm curious, in the way you are experiencing these things, how do you then feel is masculine and is feminine? Is there something different for you there? I'm curious how you see that.
Yeah. So like the best way to like talk about masculine energy, divine masculine, would be like a holy spear. Imagine like a spear sent by God, right? And so masculine energy, right? Like masculine energy is fine with being uncomfortable because the divine masculine operates through an agency and a sovereignty of himself and his code and his integrity. And he just penetrates with that code and he's fine with that disrupting some shit. And so what's happened with the divine masculine is he is so self-assured in his relationship with source that he can penetrate with his truth, knowing that he's operating in the agency of God. And as he does that, he opens spaces. And what happens is the feminine, for example, in the wake of that, is going to feel a lot of shit. She's going to feel her sacral. She's going to feel her root. She's going to feel her crown. She's going to feel her heart. She's going to feel her throat. So the divine masculine is a purification agent. The divine masculine is a cleansing agent of God. Mm-hmm. And that's what he does with his truth. And so, for example, with my truth, I just speak my truth and not everyone will agree with it. That's fine. I'm operating through my own agency of source and it's not up for debate, right? And so that's how the masculine is. I see women and the divine feminine as the embodiment of source, right? Through just her light, her radiance. Like, just think about it, right? Like, women's cycles moves with the moons. Like, that doesn't happen for a dude. So men open spaces. Women are the space. Women are the oracle. Like, a man will never be able to manifest like a woman. You know, if you want to learn how to manifest, you got to have a fucking pussy, basically, right? And so I see women as the embodiment of source, as the true oracle, just the radiance of love and connection and everything. And so women, I think, have more of this vast sort of open space of holiness, right? Whereas men are agents or men are openers. I think how the masculine can be in service is when he's so governed by his truth, he can help co-facilitate her to becoming the embodiment of source that she was always intended to be.
I keep dropping like straight into my heart and going, oh, okay, feeling stuff. Yeah, I really had a felt experience of this when I entered my current relationship and all my relationships before that were just incredibly difficult, anxious, avoidant plays and were just very intense on a different level. But when I met this man, his masculine instinct is incredibly online. So he hasn't read the data books, but he just is. He may have read them, but he's not working from like a memorization of what divine masculine energy is. He just really is that.
Right.
It was incredibly uncomfortable for me. And all these women that say, oh, I want a conscious man. I want my king. I'll tell you, it was really not fun. It's still often not fun. But like the first half year, it was hard because he was challenging me on everything where I was pretending I was fine, where I was holding back, where I wasn't in my truth, where I was blaming, you know, he kept on challenging me and it continues to be uncomfortable. And I think you wrote this somewhere, I wrote it down here, the true divine masculine will challenge every single part of the feminine's closure and fear of her expression. And it's not fun. It's not. And he's now becoming like my spiritual openings through him, through the constant feedback that I get from him of like, no, honey, not like that.
Yeah. It's the whole thing, right? Where everyone wants everything to be fucking sexy, right? We want our spiritual initiation. We want our polarity to be sexy. It's the total opposite of sexy.
Thank you for saying
so
that.
So it's God energy is ungodly. That is the process. And when you're in the presence of a divine masculine, he literally will bring up every single thing that you have not looked at inside of yourself. He'll bring up every single part of your subconscious and your unconscious. And it's funny because like I'm going to be going live with my number one hater and I'm going to go on a live with her because she wants to challenge me. And so I'm like, okay, are you ready to receive some masculine energy? You know, and I'm just doing it as an embodiment practice for myself and it makes a lot of people squirm. Think of someone as like when you receive masculine energy, it's like you're trying to like, how can I move around this? But the masculine energy is fucking immovable. It's like a pillar that's sent from a higher space. It is like, this is me and this is what I'm here to do. And in that, the feminine kind of dance and move around that and be in her expression because he can hold every single aspect of her, right? He can hold every primal dark edge that she has. And the reason is because this man has such a fierce relationship to death. What's freedom? It's death. So immature masculine energy basically chases freedom through illusions, money, power, You know, I'm going to be on Wall Street. If I make this big fucking deal, then I'll be free. But right. What happens is through a spiritual initiation, masculine energy confronts death, where he is literally having every aspect of his own subconscious or unconscious brought up, past life karma, generational, ancestral energy. And so he can die in every single form. Think about Jesus on the cross. Jesus became reborn as the divine. That's what happens in a divine masculine process. The man becomes reborn as the divine, but he first has to fully die. Think about it. Our identity dies, our identity is stripped away. We don't know who we are. That's when God begins. That's when we begin to find what our true purpose is. And now our ego can now realign with our essence. So someone's like, oh, you're in a lot of ego. It's like, of course. But that ego has now been recalibrated with God. And so it feels totally within integrity. We need ego in order to do anything great, big. If we have a big mission, we need a fuck ton of ego. A lot of spiritual community is ego removal. Well, that's only part of the process. Jesus was in a fuck ton of ego. How else would he be a fucking divine being if he didn't have a fuck ton of ego? It's just about using that ego and the construction of the holy purpose when you're operating in sort of a higher integrity. And so that's what happens with divine masculine, right? Is his death, birth, freedom. And that's why masculine energy is so confronted, because that fucker has died so much. And so anyone who has not died is confronted with their own fear of death in his wake.
I realize as I'm listening to you that often this energy in him, I do that, and I see a lot of women around me do that too. We judge it. Judge it as stubbornness, as not being caring enough, as self-centeredness. And now that I'm hearing you speak, it's also activating something in me of like, oh yeah, and this is also his divine gift into this world. It is to bring that energy. It is to bring that energy of what might look like stubbornness, but it's actually a knowingness in himself that is uncomfortable. Yeah.
Completely. That knowingness is brought up a lot. In men, other men who have really felt that energy, and also women as well, right? Women who are confronted with their own fear of death. I think there has to be that integrity piece within a man. And what is integrity? Integrity is safe, right? If we operate out of integrity, it's because we don't feel safe to operate in integrity. And so when a man dies, he recalibrates this depth of internal embodied safety to govern his own integrity with source. And so he is so self-assured in that relationship. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have blind spots, right? It doesn't mean that he's not open to being challenged, but he recognizes where that challenge is coming from, the place in someone's system. Yeah, like if we're not used to experiencing a lot of masculine energy, we can look at it as he's so fixed or he's so stubborn. It's like, why are you more adaptable? But the thing is that he has gifts to bring in that space. And it's so funny how, say a woman, if she has a divine feminine pole, she wants him to be immovable, but yet she complains that he's adaptable, or that he's not more adaptable. And so it's that whole thing. And so women, I think, operate like that. And the man is like, I see what's happening. You know, I see you kind of shifting back and forth. And he still doesn't budge from that place, because he's speaking to some deeper aspect in her, some deeper yearning. Think of like the feminine is like, oh, this, that. The masculine is like, we're going to go deep, and it's going to be utterly fucking simple, and it's going to be direct.
What does she bring him?
Radiance, everything. She brings him fucking life. She brings him every aspect of feeling alive, every aspect of love, connection, right? So I think there's a big sacral to sacral exchange that happens, right? So for example, a guy in his mission, she will times his mission by 1,000. She brings him fucking everything, right? That's why, like, when you look at, okay, like when couples get divorced, why, let's say the woman was working, she gets 50% of his money. He wouldn't have created anything without her. She is his ultimate muse on his mission. Right? She's like the vast opening, the expansive energy of aliveness, of just like feeling the human sphere and the light of, you know, God and holiness.
I know you write about this sometimes, but wrote about the feminine testing the masculine, because I'm sure there's a version of that that is not so healthy. But I also notice it in myself that it's almost an instinctual thing. Then I'm like,
yeah,
how angry are you going to get?
Right.
You keep your center.
Let me first ask you, how do you find yourself testing? What are those tests? How do those tests show up for you?
I've done a lot of work on not doing any toxic testing. But what I will say is where I'm testing him is I'm sometimes testing him to see if he will give up something he cares about for me. So a good example is I came back home from a retreat in the States and I was gone for 3 weeks and we hadn't seen each other. And he knew when I would walk back through the door, he was in his own online retreat. And I said, oh, but can't you get out of your online retreat to at least give me a hug? And he said, no, I'm so excited to see you, but I'm not going to walk out of my own online retreat because it's in my integrity and I value what I'm doing there. I will come to you when my retreat has finished. And I remember thinking, I was angry at him. I was like, so upset. Like, you can't walk out of your office. I'm literally on the other side of the door. You can't walk out for 30 seconds to say hi to me. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And I initially had a little temper tantrum about it. And then I was more attracted to him because he wasn't rejecting me. He was still very much expressing his love and excitement for seeing me again, but he wasn't disowning or disrespecting his own mission. He wasn't giving up his mission for me. And that again was an instinctual response in him. He's like, I'm not going to do that. So even though I want to see you so bad, I'm so tempted to do it. I'm not going to do it.
That's amazing. I like your man a lot. That's really, really important, right? Because like, what would like testing be? I think there can be a lot of, let's say, ego outplay that can happen with her testing, where, you know, she can be operating through more shadow, more of her ego being exasperated, and he won't have any of it. He won't have any of that. He'll be able to, you know, feel what truth is, and he won't have any of that, right? And so his mission has to come first. His mission has to be the most important thing. I think she's always testing to be how strong and firm is his container, because what she's ultimately doing is she's testing for deeper surrender, right? If we're talking to the name of your podcast, it's deeper. All her tests are, how can I bring more of me here? How can I bring more of me into this space, right? So every test is for, it's kind of like nuzzling up to a pillar. It's like, can I unveil more of my yearning of hope? And so what a man has to be able to do is temporary discomfort for long-term submission. So that's what happens. That's why a masculine has to be able to kind of piss off a woman a little bit, because he knows he's playing to deeper energetics, to more long-term energetics. And he's fine with pissing her off in the short term because he knows he's operating in some deeper energetics of submission. And he knows that she's trying to feel into his container. That's what she's trying to do. She's trying to feel into his container of how much, and essentially what that means for a man is how much can he hold in his body? How much can he hold his energetic power in his body in this firm container to be like, this is what my truth is. This is what my container is. And I'm not straying from this container. And so it temporarily might piss her off, but longer term, she's like, whoa, what the fuck's happening here?
Yeah, I really felt it. Like I was more attracted to him afterwards and I trusted him more and I didn't feel less loved. I felt like, oh, I can trust you that you were going to take care of your mission and thus take care of us. That was like a very primal reaction to it all. You wrote somewhere that like the trust we have in the masculine has something to do with his relationship to his anger. Can you share a little bit about that?
Anger is how a man finds his cock. And so if a man is not tapped into primal rage, so anger is like direct relationship to boundaries. Without anger, we have no container. So embodied anger is the masculine's firmness of his container. This is why like people pleasers, they have no container. They don't have any relationship to their anger, right? What is anger? Anger is worthiness, right? We don't have relationship to anger if we don't feel worthy. We don't feel worthy to prioritize ourselves, to create a container for ourselves. So we're going to have an open container to live in attachment wounds, to live in codependency, to find approval, validation, worthiness. So when we have a container, it means that I'm worth something to be protected. I'm worth something to be protected. So energetically, what happens when a man moves into his anger, there's an energetic descent where it's like his energy drops down all of a sudden. He puts himself in the earth. Now you can energetically feel his cock. It's like, whoa, I can feel that guy. And so it's about building this primitive, primal relationship to anger and rage, dropping it down into our legs, our cup, our root, our ass, our lower chakras. And now what happens is this dude essentially has a structure even for his higher chakras, though, for his crown to open. And that's how you can tell the strength of a man's container is based off his relationship to anger. So anger
is healthy anger then. Like what is, I think every woman will recognize this, that it's difficult to relate to a man's anger because there's a lot of wounded and not so beautiful or not so nice versions of it. What is healthy anger?
So for one, it's a really, really healthy relationship to boundaries. Let me give you this sort of example. We want to be connected and protected, right? And sometimes we're too connected means we're too open. Sometimes we're too protected means we're too closed. So healthy anger is I will not fucking stand for anything that is not the unequivocal truth. I will not stand for anything that is not in relationship with source. And so anger is used as a constructive agency to build kingdom on earth. So that's healthy activation is anger. It's a fucking mission that we are going to move and operate in the highest possible integrity. That's what opens the feminine heart. His relationship to this constructive anger allows for her heart to open because of the level of truth that anger wants to operate into and open into.
Okay, one last question on that. What is the difference between this beautiful Holy Spirit that you're so incredibly describing and I feel it in my body and being an asshole? What's the difference?
Yeah, well, I would probably say, so our relationship to ego and our relationship to shadow.
Right, right.
Right. So, for example, like what would being an asshole be is someone that is never prepared to bring people into their challenges, their difficulties, to reveal their shortcomings, to reveal the aspects of themselves they still struggle with, right? So that's a big thing I think you can look at with masculine energy. It's immovable, this stubborn energy. Mm-hmm. But what happens is he'll level you with his transparency and his openness. Right. Which is like, whoa, that was different all of a sudden. He was almost fierce in the transparency of where he struggles, right? Of where he opens. And so, and that all of a sudden brings this different energy where, okay, that stubborn dude just like revealed his shadow, like the aspects of himself, like this is my shit. Like this is where I struggle. And so that creates a whole different energy. And so I would say an asshole is someone who's in that immovable energy, but can never soften into the space of his own transparency. Yeah. So it's exactly, it's cock without heart. It's a whole lot of cock energy that is not so crown energy, more source. Heart is more connection. You know, cock is more protection, right? And so when he's able to connect cock and heart, now the goal is to be connected. That's the highest goal. And so I think when a man does that at an energetic level, that energy is more in the service of let's be connected. And an asshole is just not connected to that.
That's a really, really good distinction. Okay, my last question for you, Annette, because I know I can already feel my fellow women listening to this podcast going, I want my man to embody these kind of things. How do I get him to embody these kind of things? I want him to do the work.
Yeah.
Do you have any wise words for them?
If she's coming from a space of her feminine, which is like she's accounting for every aspect of her side of the fence. You know, she's looking at all the ways her ego might be involved in that exchange. And she fully softens and surrenders into her own divine innate feminine nature. She'll inspire him. That energy will give him space. So a big thing, for example, in this, you know, we can bring it to challenge. If you want to challenge a man, you have to do so from your feminine.
What does that look like?
It looks like for one, being really regulated in your nervous system, right? And being fierce, but also being in your feminine from a space of, I want to be connected. So there's like innately like a vulnerability to it. You're challenging him from a space where he feels there's space for him to be in his masculine. So we talk about, I want my guy to do the work. Well, a lot of the times there's this ego, needy energy where women are coming at it from their own masculine energy. And so a man is not going to respond to that at a very biological sort of primal level because he's like, well, there's no space for me. He doesn't feel inspired, right? But if he can feel her feminine, he's like, whoa, my masculine energy can win here. And so now he begins to download a code where he starts to feel, he's like, whoa, I can feel something in my body, which is more of this primitive biological masculine instinct. Mm-hmm. He doesn't feel that when all of a sudden she's kind of, let's say she's moved so far into his space. She's in her own space. So it's about a woman understanding what her container is, You challenge the masculine from your own container, which is you're softening and surrendering into your heart, your womb. You will be able to get a man to do fucking anything if you're in that space, right? And so we want to get the man to do the work. Well, you need to live and embody. If that makes sense.
If I can share a story about this. Years ago, I wanted him, like I was getting into all the polarity work and all this stuff. And I really wanted him to join a men's group. And he was like, no, I'm not going to join a men's group. I don't want to. He's like, no, but you should join a men's group. It's good for your masculine practice. It's like, no. And the more I was bringing that, the more he was like, I will not do that. And he was just getting more and more fierce with me. Thankfully, through polarity work, I was actually, okay, what's the feeling underneath this? And I went to him and I was like, I miss you. There's a depth of your masculinity that I know is there that I sometimes just really miss. And I brought it with so much tenderness. It's like, I just miss you sometimes. I miss you fully in yourself or something. And brought it way more vulnerably than I'm doing now. And I won't say that is the reason he went on his own journey, but he eventually went on his own journey. He's following spiritual teachers I completely disagree with, but he goes on a retreat with them and he comes home completely masculinized. Mm-hmm. He comes home a greater man. And I don't agree with where he's going. It would never be my path, but he's following his own path and coming back more of a man from that. But I had to completely let go what it looked like. And I couldn't fill it in. I couldn't say you should be in men's groups or you should do this or you should do that. He had to follow his own journey, but I could bring my own joy and excitement for doing what I was going, all the work that I was doing, and just sometimes bring like, I want more of you. I miss you. And I think that's a great, you worded it so beautifully, like really coming from your own container and giving him space to be masculine, giving him space to find his own path in this.
I think that's amazing. That's so beautiful because you brought it back to connection. That's the most powerful thing you can ever say is, I want to be more connected to you. I want to be more connected to you. And men need to, you know, masculine energy, right? He needs to be able to engage and initiate his own energy in his own path. He needs to be able to do things for himself, right? That's where the masculine evolves. That's where the masculine is formed through that, his own sort of rite of passage. And so in that sort of what you were bringing to him, he's like, oh, he could actually hear you. And when you speak from feminine energy, you have a man's fucking attention. You have a man's attention. Instantaneously he softens. So that comes from the place of I want to be more connected. This is what, like, when I feel your masculine energy, this is what fucking happens in my body. And he's like, oh wow, I want to do more of that. And then now he also realizes how powerful he feels when she's in her feminine. He feels his power and he's like, whoa, this is like I've just snorted a bunch of fucking heroin. How powerful. when you can feel her feminine energy and her reacting to your masculine energy, it's like, whoa, like, did I just become fucking like a Greek god or something? Like what just happened? It's literally like doing a drug, right? And so when he starts to feel that, he's going to be like, yeah, fucker, let's go. Like, we're going all the way.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jamie. I feel so much appreciation for all your wisdom and everything that you brought here today. I feel something activated and awakened in me, and I feel coming back home almost in what the divine layer is that's playing out in our life and between us and our relationships. Where can people find out more about you? How can they work with you? Because I'm sure people are going to listen to this and think, I don't know what that is, but I want to be around that.
My God, that's often how people respond to me. They're very confused. They're like, what the fuck is that?
What is that?
It's like, all, you know, this coarse language. He swears all the time. Like, it's like a fucking just chaos. Like what the fuck's going on? Nice. First off, thank you so much for having me on. It's been so great to meet you and to have this first conversation, first of many, I'm sure. The best place for people to find me just would be Instagram, probably as a starting place. I'm currently reconstructing my website, which will be up in a couple months. So probably the time of airing, I would say Instagram, which my handle is jamie.n.ray. So it's jamie.n.ray. That's the best place, I guess, to be introduced to my orbit. I have a bunch of different offerings that are coming up, I guess, the end of the year, early 2024. I work with people one-on-one still. You can kind of feel into my vibe a little bit on Instagram and be like, what the fuck's going on here? But that's a,
good stuff.
But that's the best. That's the best place to go.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time and all that you've gifted here. I feel really spoiled.
Of course. It's my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, Sophie.